somebody on that call us a name. She's in the house on that.
It's good to have in the studio today Barry Charles from Australia, a great singer-songwriter who's kindly dropped in to talk with Solly Dog this time around, and we're going to ask him a few questions and hear a few tracks from Barry, and just ask him where he got into music and why he got into music. So, Barry, welcome to the Solly Dog Blues and Roots.
Thanks very much for having me on this morning, and it's great to be here in Melbourne. I'm a Queenslander. Come down for some gigs here, and it was just the right time to drop in and see you this morning.
Great. Well, yeah, thanks for coming in. Well, let's start right back, way back when, which is a good place to be. I guess, how did you get into music, Barry, and what was your motivation for getting into the blues?
firstly, it was a situation where my great-grandfather was, or my grandfather, George, was an opera singer, had a big bass baritone voice. So back in my early years, I used to hear him singing these fantastic sort of pieces from operas without any sort of accompaniment.
Is that right?
And, you know, things that just... and when he was in his 80s, he still... And I was at the age of eight trying to sing 16 tons and what do you get? And he said, you're a bit young for that, but he said, you've got the ingredients.
Yeah.
And he sang me something like the Holy City, Jerusalem, and with full power. And I was just completely gobsmacked because the power of the voice. Plus, my father was a great dancer and singer. He was more of a tenor.
Right.
And a great dancer. So the rhythm was there, and they used to play a lot of stuff from the old days in the 40s and the 50s. And he liked a lot of American music. Nat King Cole was one of his favourite singers.
Yeah.
Back in those days, Paul Robeson was another great singer that my father used to talk about. And he said, oh, I'd really like to have the power of that man's voice one day. But then I went to school. Unfortunately, I had polio when I was 15 and a half months old. So I was pushed into more or less not being able to play sport. But music was one of the things that really kept me a little bit sane. And with a music background, I picked up harmonica and drums and things like that. But the ukulele was one of the first instruments I ever picked up. So that pushed me into the guitar thing,
right,
at high school, where we used to have ukulele club things and do all these crazy ukulele songs, which... You know, like Lonnie Donegan things. And
sure,
things,
yeah.
Know, which, and then from there progressed to a band where we did a lot of instrumentals in those days.
So where did you grow up, Barry? Where did all this happen?
This all happened in Chelsea, Mornington area.
Down in Melbourne.
In Melbourne, yes.
Australia, Melbourne, for all you overseas listeners.
Yeah, sorry.
International podcasters.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was basically where I started from. Then for many years I was in this band. I didn't really sing much. I just played guitar because it was in the era of instrumentals and the Shadows.
Right.
And we used to do a lot of surfing instrumentals as well.
Okay.
And then I was in the band basically as second rhythm guitarist and singing two songs like House of the Rising Sun and We've Got to Get Out of This Place. So
yeah,
that was why I stayed in the band, because in those days instrumentals were more popular. And then I switched over to doing some blues, getting into people and going off doing solo and organising my own sort of sound and listening to a lot of interesting vocalists who I really liked scat singing, and I liked sounds more than words in singing.
I noticed a lot of your original material has that in it. Even some of the covers you do, say, of Tom Waits, has that sort of scat sound.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it's one of your favourites. But your voice is incredibly deep, and one of your promotional things, which obviously other people have written, talks about your vocal gymnastics, probably not a very nice thing to say, but vocal range would be better.
That's true.
So you've inherited that voice, obviously, and we'll be able to play some tracks to demonstrate that to people. Yeah, let's hear this one, Sunday Paranoid Blues. This one from Barry Charles' album, Self-Induced Cause. Nice stuff.
Forgot to take off my shoes, hungover from the booze. Ah, too much whining and dining. Empty wallet on the floor, the flashing radio clock. Late AM, I wish that barking would stop. I've got those Sunday morning paranoid blues. Gangsters still roam the streets among the hookers and the freaks. Like vultures in the air, they look from anywhere. Empty wallet on the floor, flashing radio clock. Late AM, is that the ticking of the clock? I've got no Sunday morning. Paranoid blues. Just wandered off, hardly said a word. Those dark glasses and the dry cough, empty wallet on the floor, the flashing radio clock. Late AM, I wish that barking would stop. I've got those Sunday mornings paranoid blues. Yeah, Seminole. Can't find my mobile. I must have left it in your room. Bruised and sore from a self-induced cause. Empty wallet on the floor, flashing radio clock. Late AM, I wish that parking would stop. I got a Sunday morning paranoid blues. Well, the news of the day interrupted my haze, saying, am I alarmed or alert? Feeling slightly dazed, I grabbed the nearest clean t-shirt. I must look a sight. What party wouldn't that? I've got those Sunday morning paranoid blues. Yes. Where's my glasses? Where's those aspirins? God, this is a shocking hangover. She did look rather nice. Oh, this time, what's her name? I can't even remember her name. It's all in it.
It's a very deep, rich voice.
Yeah.
And you've always had that with you?
I've cultivated it over the years because At the time in Melbourne, around the early 60s, right up to the late 60s, I was starting to hear people like Otis Redding. I was starting to hear people like Wilson Pickett, and then the early influences of Joe Cocker. And then I was listening to a lot of blues guys like Muddy Waters, Lead Belly. My brother swayed me, pushed me in that era, and listened to the big black blues voices.
Yep.
And he realised I had a bass baritone voice. I had some great teachers. I had some really good singing teachers that helped me to produce the power that you need to put it out there.
Yeah.
It's all right having the original sort of voice, but you've got to be able to project it and put it out there. So I had some good teachers who were interested in me doing actually opera, but I stayed clear of that and... stuck on the tracks of listening to people like Max Merritt too.
Right.
Big influence in Australia. A band called The Groove. There are bands that... and also Levi Smith Clefs.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great blues bands in those days, which I had a big influence. And then I moved up from Chelsea Mornington, lived in Greville Street, Paran for a while, worked around the Station Hotel, and joined up with a couple of guys out of the Dingoes, Chris Stockley... And Broderick Smith, big fan of his for a long time.
Right.
But did some early... I did some... Also, a lot of Tamla Motown stuff was something which I did, which was pretty influential, like Tammy Terrell and... we used to do a lot of things like Ain't No Mountain High Enough, which was some of their material. We used to do a sort of a Motown duo thing around the traps and... like places like That's Life and Birdies and things, and floor shows with Little Goose and Big Goose all doing our backing.
Right,
things
so like that. Bit of Australian music history here. It goes almost to the 60s, 70s, yeah.
It does, yeah. It goes back into that, and that period helps your voice. I mean, at times I really couldn't sing after I'd done about two or three nights of this sort of soul singing.
Yeah.
But... as you get older, your voice gets stronger and you learn techniques of how to use it, turn it on, switch it on, turn it off, and my teachers also helped me with the breathing. So, but I left Melbourne in about 1972, went up to Queensland with the bass player from the band I was in, and we started our own little duo thing and working on our own material, doing our own songs. And I had a chance to be away from a lot of influences in Queensland because we were living up near Noosa, which was pretty sort of, it was a surfing sort of fishing village with a lot of cosmopolitan sort of people going through, South Africans, New Zealanders, Americans, mainly into surfing. And we used to entertain them a lot at the Reef Hotel at Noosa. And, and we were sort of, had the first band there called The Rockets. And we used to do all our own material, but we were getting into more Loggins and Messina and people like that. And
sure.
Doing that.
Right.
And Commodores were starting to come through a bit. And the Doobies, we were doing quite a lot of Doobie Brothers stuff. But that, all those sort of influences probably gave me the colour of. I probably enhanced today. Then my brother was sending me a lot of Tom Waits material,
which you obviously cover a lot. So tell me, Barry. So have you always made music your life? Has it been the way you've earned your living?
Most of the time. My mother and mother weren't too sure about me being a muso. They wanted me to become a shoe designer of all things. went to the Collingwood Tech for a while, but I kept leaving and going back because our family had a big shoe factory in Smith Street, Collingwood for many, many years, 60 years.
Okay.
And they thought a more secure future was based on...
That's Charles' Shoes, I hope it was called.
Well, yeah. But and that business collapsed in the early 70s because of tariff things. I became a taxi driver.
Okay.
With Silver Top Taxis for about 4 or 5 years when I was in Melbourne, which supported my music career. I was driving for Silver Top Taxis. Actually wrote a song about some of those experiences, but which was a good way of observing life.
Yeah.
Sitting at Flinders Street Station at 3 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
picking up pros and all sorts of gangsters and taking them home and seeing, a lot of passing parade of life,
Yeah.
And that supported my musical career for a long time, for quite a while, until I went up to Noosa. And then I drove a taxi or two around Noosa for a while just to support my musical career.
Sure.
Because the flexible hours.
Yes.
You know, you could, the flexibility in the hours of driving coach.
Yeah. So music's been your passion.
Absolutely.
And would you say blues, how would you describe, I mean, I hear a lot of blues in your music, and you do Tom Waits, and we can talk about that in a moment, but would you describe it as blues, or is it urban folk, Noosa folk? If someone says, Barry Charles, what sort of stuff do? What do you tell them?
I would say my music's got a lot of blues background, a lot of soul background, but what I've tried to do is bring in my own sort of independent own way of interpreting blues songs or interpreting Tom Waits songs, but also bringing in some new ideas with vocal techniques in my material, as you said, vocal gymnastics. It's using sounds of the voice like an instrument.
Right.
And I got into a bit of Tibetan throat singing for a while, plus some circular breathing from the Aboriginal thing, which was great. Also Paul Pena from America, who was into tuva singing, which is to do with the Mongolian things, when you do all that.
Right.
Well, that's all to do with Mongolian tuva singing.
Okay,
throat singing. And that, it's still, because Paul Pena went to Mongolia and as a blues singer and blew them away with his type of singing, which has such a blues base, but he could also use... The colour was the same as what they used, but he also used his breathing to do the two vocal. You're doing a two. You're splitting the dynamics of the vocals into two areas. You know.
And that was a really unusual kind of sound from the sort of material that you've done. What would you say is one of a good showcase for that kind of voice work?
I think anything based around the blues idiom is the best thing for my style.
Right.
And it leans that way all the time. I keep coming back to that. You know,
yeah.
I've done rock and roll and folk and other things, but I know where I'm the most comfortable.
Yes,
and I feel where I can really put my songs over is basically with using the communication of having that blues background, but that blues bassist. As in my songs, either minor or major, there's always a blues link. There's the blues link there.
Yeah, let's hear a track from Barry Charles' album Northern Shores. This one, Trick of the Lights.
All seem quiet in the mellow morning light. Drifts of fog still cover the beach. The silhouetted figures of the night appear. Oblivious to my being here. No, it was just a trick of the light. Moon on the wane in the dawning. Something going down off line just out of sight. Was it the trick of the light? The semi cruised in, the big launch slipped out. A stretch limo drove up and I heard someone shout, Carlo, the boss is here. Was it just a trick of the light? On the way to the dawning light, something going down a flight and out of sight. Was it just the trick of the light? Oh yeah, trick of the lights. So I wandered on down to Benny's Burger Bar. Curiosity, hunger made me leave the car. Got a stool near the window, eat my double snack bag. It seemed to be where all the action was at. Was it just a trick of the light? Moon on the wane in the dawning light. Something going down a fly and out of sight. Was it just a trick of the light? The sound. Ooh, yeah. Give it that down.
all the way from Bolivia. Hey, this gear was good. Sold out in a couple of days. I overheard Audrey say we were driving for weeks. Was it just a trick of the light? And on the way to the dawning light, something going down a flight. And out of sight, was it just a trick of the light? Oh yeah, they had me. Put it on my down. This is so shit up. To the parts of the bay. And I kept thinking I shouldn't be. I better leave. I finish this beer. Just as sleazeball Sam whispered in my ear. Don't worry, Gabby. You got nothing to fear. Tree over there, was it just a trick of the light? Moon on the way in the dawning light, something going down off line, and out of sight, was it just a trick of the light? Hey. You know, after long shifts, I go down to Benny's at the pier. Warfies, trucksters, mobsters, creatures of the night. Deals going on, business in full flight. Privileged company, call it what you might. Was it just a trick of the light? Moon on the way to the dawning light. Something going down, I'm flying and out of sight. Was it just a trick of the light? As Benny called out, now we're closing. Show's over, everyone. Faces that were once shadows glowed in the morning sun. Heavies put on their glasses, holding to what they scored. I pulled on my cabby cap and laid it for the dawn. Was it just a trick of the light? No more moon, just the early morning light. Went down, out of mind, out of sight. They say it's just a trick of the light. Just a trick of the light. Magic of the night. Just a trick of the light. Magic of the night. Just a trick of the light. Man, no day. Just a trick of the light. No more moon, just an early morning light. Something went down out of mind, out of sight. Just a trick of the light.
Okay, Barry, you just talk about some of your recordings. You've got a number of them out. You're recording on your own independent label, or have you?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, I've got a name for it, but it's just an independent label.
Yeah.
But
what's the name?
well, as I say, we just I haven't really got a name for the independent independent label.
So just called Barry Charles Music, I guess.
Yeah, at the moment, yes. Yeah,
and
sure.
For people listening, if they want to get hold of it, where do they get your material?
Well, they can go to my website, which is www.barrycharles.com.
Right.
And we've got it all set up. You can order online any of my. I've got about four to five CDs out.
Right.
And it's all set up with PayPal and.
Oh, great. So anybody listening wants to, we'll repeat that at the end for you, but anybody wants to buy some of this great material can get onto www.barrycharles.com and check it out there.
Yeah.
So just take it back if you're recording, Barry. When did you first start doing that?
I started back about 94, 95. It was my first full-on CD, and that was an album called Beyond Boundaries, which was an album of whole lot of different styles of music, or mainly based around the blues and soul, but it was a kaleidoscope of different songs. Most of them I'd written. There was one or two big productions on a couple of Tom Waits songs that I'd rather not listen to anymore. Because, yeah, I mean, it's amazing when you think back of how you sang, you look back on how you sang then and how you're singing now, and you don't realise how much your voice has changed and what you want to do with certain songs in a different interpretation. But that was the first one. It was done locally up at on the Sunshine Coast with a guy named Andrew Higgins, who's he's a great young guy with lots of ideas producing. He's still producing albums up there. But I went, and then the last three or four albums I've recorded locally again at a place called Bedlamp Studios in Yeomundi.
Right.
Ian Harvey's doing a very good job with a lot of local artists there. And he's a musician himself who I've a lot of, you know, lot of relaxed sort of sessions and communication with him. He gives you a lot of leeway with you what you want to do, you know.
Great. Now you write a lot of material. You do so also you did a sort of like a tribute album to Tom Waits, which is you doing a lot of his material. What was that one called?
That's called Under the Influence.
Under the Influence of Tom Waits.
Yes.
And I want to talk about your songwriting, but why the fascination with Tom Waits? I mean, obviously he's a great singer-songwriter, but is there some special connection with you?
Well, yes, my brother George, who always wanted to be a singer, but he had a great ear for music and a fantastic collection of CDs and albums for years and years.
Right.
And in a lot of ways, he used to say to me, "Oh, have a listen to this album." And I was up in Queensland, and then he sent me a Tom Waits album, which was vinyl in those days.
Right.
And he said, "Have a listen. I think you'd really enjoy singing his material." And I was looking for something different, and I like the stories.
Yes.
I like the pictures that the word pictures he puts up for a singer are fantastic. Songs that, you know, just have fantastic meaning. And it's not just singing the melodies, it's also singing the words, but the poetry he comes up with and the people he sings about and just,
yes,
and just events. That's what I want to do. So that album was based, actually, I started singing those songs, and a lot of people said to me, "Why don't you do an album of his material?" And
right.
I thought, okay, so virtually it was a way of popular demand thing of saying, well, do an album of his material because we'd like to take it home with us. Because my interpretation of some of his material is different to what you hear on an album. But then again, Tom Waits changes his
style every album.
Yeah, exactly, you know. So, yeah, and I went to New York for a while just to, my sister lives over there.
Okay.
So I had I was even more interested in doing something because I found the ambience of New York. I can understand where Tom Waits was coming from in the sense.
Right.
That amazing energy, that everything's happening in New York City.
Yeah.
Every 5 minutes is something happening. It's the energy is incredible.
You feel it in the air.
Yeah, and I could feel it and the songs, I could relate more to them when I came back.
Yeah,
from a trip to New York for about a month and a half.
So obviously, Tom Waits is an influence on you.
Yeah,
And I can hear some of that influence in some of your original material.
Yes.
And I mean, we've recorded "Shore Leave," so we'll obviously play that for folks listening. Yeah, let's hear that Waits song, "Shore Leave," done Barry Charles style.
Oh, with buckshot eyes and a purple heart, I rode down the nationalist grove with a big fat paycheck strapped to my hips. I came on shore leave, wristwatch on my sleeve, and a Hong Kong drizzle on Cuban heels. I rode down to the gutter to the blood bank. Now, last
lost all my papers on the dark Condorosa, and I was in bad need of a shave. Oh, I stopped on the corner and ate a cold chow mein. I shot billiards with a midget till the rain stopped. I bought a long sleeve hose with horses on the front, coming alive in the night. I sat down and wrote this letter to my wife, ooh, oh, baby. I'm so far away from home, and I miss my baby so. I can't make it by myself. I, oh yeah, I so miss you, baby. Be surely, surely gonna, surely, surely. Facing myself, trying to make it all last, squeezing the life out of this lousy two-day pass. I had a cold woman, a dragon, some Filipino flaw show, yeah. I talked baseball with the lieutenant over a Singapore sling, and I wondered how the same moon outside would look down over Chinatown of failure. Could look down on Illinois and find me there. Cause I know I miss you, baby. I'll hear me by myself. Hey, buddy. Surely, 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 surely. Buckshot eyes and the purple heart is rolling down the nationalist grove. With a big fat paycheck strapped to my hips, I came on short leave, wristwatch under my sleeve, in a Hong Kong dress alone. Cuban heels are rolled down to the gutter, yeah, to the blood bank that was down. Shall leave.
What's your favorite influences from Tom Waits? What are the sort of albums or songs that really influenced you?
Heart of Saturday Night was probably one of my favourites.
Yeah, I think that was my first Tom Waits one as well.
Yeah,
I couldn't buy Small Change, I got that one.
Yeah,
probably the same time.
Yeah. Mule Variations was one of my favourites. I think he's just some of the moods he creates in those songs.
That's a recent one too.
Yeah. But you know, Tom Trawbert Blues, probably my favourite Tom Waits song.
Yeah, yeah. Bit of Waltzing Matilda there.
Yeah, and exactly. It's a song that it's amazing how every time I sing it, it's just I never get tired of it. It really is a story and fantastic. And people come up and say, yeah, how it affects them. Not just me singing it, but the words. And
sure.
I've had a few folk purists come up to me and say, what have you done to Waltzing Matilda? So now I usually explain that this is Tom Waits' interpretation of his feelings about war and other things.
That's right.
And bringing that song in was just a... He felt that a lot of Australians and, well, a lot of people know the song of Waltzing Matilda.
Yes.
The chorus.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably Blue Valentine's. That's a wonderful album too, you know.
Yeah,
but His influence has been fantastic.
Now, who else has sort of like crossed your paths that has stuck?
Oh, as a singer,
yeah. In terms of influencing your own material,
Who else? JJ Cale. Really liked his material. Used to sing a lot of JJ Cale. Mixture his material. Muddy Waters. There was also some guys in England that I liked. John Redbourne.
Mm-hmm.
There's also some people like Al Jarreau, who was a great scat singer, great Bobby Farron, I mean, who used their voices as an instrument. I did one album where I didn't use any words. I just did...
Okay. Which one was that?
This was called Away From It All.
Okay.
Which I did a whole lot of landscape shots around Noosa and the river system, and I just had a photo exhibition and put... to describe the pictures, I wrote music for them without words. So it sets a soundscape for the actual photographs, and to escape from words, and just to do to show emotions in songs with just sounds.
Hmm.
And I just did that all. Just a all 12 original tracks, and got some guys to back me on it. And,
great. And people can buy that one?
They can, yes. It's called Away From It All, but it's there's nothing in, because it's not really, you wouldn't call it a blues album.
Sure.
It's more to do with a natural, it's actually an environmental statement made on.
Okay, so people can get on the website barrycharles.com and have a look at that.
Yeah.
Now, in terms of being a songwriter, they're your influences, but I'll ask you a difficult question. You know, what's hard for you about writing songs?
I think the hardest thing is I wish I was more prolific.
Right.
And what is, in the sense, I'd love to write more songs.
Right.
But I tend to take a lot of time, but because I think about it, I keep, my biggest problem is my own self, because I'm critical of what I write, and then I'll write something down, I'll change, keep changing and going back. But it's also the subject matter.
Right.
Getting the melody and saying to yourself, oh, look, you know, is this different or is it new? Is it sounding too much like someone else's song? And trying to make it interesting.
Right.
For the listener.
Yeah.
And getting the message across of what I'm trying to say. So it's not just an easy escape of saying, putting down a straight 12-bar blues. I want to make it sort of interesting.
Yep.
And that to me, I mean, is that you're trying to give something fresh and new to your listening audience. And I mean, as much as I did a whole album of Tom Waits, I tried to do it in my own sort of way.
Yeah.
A tribute album to Tom Waits. You know.
You've got a lot of a good original material there, and so what motivates you to write it? Is it sort of the inner life of Barry Charles, or is it something you sit down and plan out, or is it you drive down the street and something happens and you think, I need to write a song about that? What is it?
It can be events of the day, or events in the news, or events or experiences I've had. It also can be dreams of where my head goes in dreams, and I write down a lot of dreams. There's one song there called Cold Dark Nights,
yeah,
which is based on a young couple who wanted to rob a bank, you know.
Yeah.
And I just wrote that down and worked on the words from there, which, as I say, some songs might take a couple of weeks, others might take months. But the other thing is that you can also change the songs after a while. You might, like one or two I've recorded, I sometimes throw in a different line because it's your own song, and you think I'd like to change that, there's a line there, I think I can, you know, enhance that more or improve on that line or do something different with it. But it's hard sticking sometimes to what you've actually written.
Yeah.
You know.
So when you perform, you've been down in Melbourne performing, I think, a few places, and you're heading back through Canberra. You perform like a set list, or do you try and interpret things differently each time you perform, or how do you sort of approach your performances?
I approach them all. Everyone is, you know, it's the first time performance of an audience for an audience, especially away from home, because it's no point in writing a whole three or four brackets and saying, "Oh, look, I'm going to do those," because you never know who's going to be in the audience, what sort of audience you're going to have. I have a set list sometimes as a guide. I have a list of songs, and I'll look at the audience and I'll think, well, they're not really ready for the heavy Tom Waits stuff yet. No, there's a couple of kids in the audience. No, that wouldn't go over well. Because the lyrics of some songs are pretty dark. You know, Tom Waits stuff is like singing Whistling Past the Graveyard to a couple of kids. You know, they're looking at you going, what the hell? And Mum walks out with them, you know.
Yes.
You've got to be careful. I mean, you slowly, I always feel like going into a gig, you have to... So suss your audience out, then, like, it's like playing a bit of a game, you know, not to launch straight into your own material, unless, I mean, if I was someone like Jeff Hutchinson or somebody like that, you can do your own, go in there with a name, big name, you can do your stuff straight away, but you've got to let people get used to you, how you deliver your songs.
Sure.
And then bring them into your own originality, and that's what I do. I say, well, this is some Tom Waits song, here's some Tony, I do a bit of a Tony Joe White song, which has got a Tony Joe, it's Ode to Tony Joe, which is, he was one of my big influences. So that sort of makes them familiar of your with your sound.
Yeah.
And then you do your own thing and say, well, this is what I'm doing, you know, take it or leave it.
Doughboys and smokers, losers and snoozers.
Yeah, this one's Ash Wednesday Blues.
All of them old, easy hearts.
Barry Charles.
Liars, deniers. Fakers and shakers. Full of themselves, but no hearts. But I've been floating on this ocean with nothing better else to do. I feel the dead calm inside the big storm, living with the Ash Wednesday blues. Yes. Hold on, move on. Set it straight before it's too late. This is one hell of a start. Are we all so nervous? Do yourself some same service. Stop trying to keep up with the pace. 'Cause I keep swimming in this big pond. Just a little boy who's lost his shoes. I feel the dead calm inside the big storm, living with the Ash Wednesday. Everyone is so vain. On the edge of insane, we're civilized and customized. We recognize what's televised. Who's opting for popularity and fame? Let the followers and swallowers, the tyrants be bygones. We'll just find an island in the sun. Or fruitcakes and cane cakes. No stakes are bad. Only pay happy people when the day is done, yes. Cause I keep floating on this ocean. Nothing better else to do. I feel the dead calm inside the big storm, living with the Ash Wednesdays. I feel the dead calm, feel the dead calm, living with Ash Wednesday blues.
Barry, you spent a bit of time in the UK and travelling around there. I think New Zealand and other places. Maybe tell us about your experiences in overseas being a singer-songwriter. Yeah. Overseas is the Australian term for overseas.
Yeah.
Because we're a big island or continent island or something like that.
Yeah, continent island. Yeah. Well, it was interesting because there's a period in my life where I was working full-on with a band called The Big Easy, who were a barrel house blues band, and we did a lot of... The guys are very dedicated blues people. I go to New Orleans nearly every year. It's a bit like Mecca for them, you know. That's especially the keyboard player, Al Hensley. And I enjoyed working with those guys for at least 3 or 4 years. And... I decided I had a lot to do with also setting up a community radio station in Noosa, which we got it set up from the very basics to getting it going. And at that stage, we were suffering from a bit of burnout and I really wanted to develop my guitar playing skills. So consequently, long story short, my wife and I decided it was about time we headed overseas for me to firstly improve my guitar playing skills, to back myself confidently, and catch up some family history, and look at the music scene in England and Europe. So we went over in I think it was 99 or something, and year 2000, I'm not sure. Yeah, probably prior to that. But anyway, you give or take a year. But I was lucky to run into some blues musicians at a place in Plymouth. And got into some festivals, and met some people accidentally by having my guitar. My guitar was playing up, so I took it to a guitar maker who had a lot to do with the early blues scene in London, Chris Aliff, and he was a great friend of John Redburn, Ralph McTell.
Right.
I believe people know
some nice big names there in the English scene.
Oh, yeah. And yes, and Chris, who's like semi-retired now, and he's in his late 60s, but he makes guitars. And he said, oh, what do you do? And he said, have you got any of your music? So I gave him a CD, and he rang me back and said, I'd love you to do the Tately Music Festival. If I fix your guitar up. So it was a deal.
That's a deal worth having.
Yeah, so that was great. And went over very well. He got me onto... became really good friends. He plays beautiful guitar. He's himself still. And he got me into Glastonbury, which was a great...
Yeah, big festival.
Big festival. Leap Forward, fantastic. I went on just before John Martin, who was one of my favourites.
Oh, yes.
With his band, and he'd just come back with a great band. And the guy after me was Rolf Harris, so I won't go into that one. But anyway, but I played the Avalon tent, which was fantastic. And that also opened a few doors for me.
Sure.
And I worked around Tevin and Cornwall for... couple of years all around the pubs and the music scene there, and then went up to London, and we lived there for about a year and a half, and I played quite a lot of the hotels and clubs around there, and did a bit of recording, messed around with a few recording ideas with people from some of the big studios there. We were working with Queen and that, but it was run by an Australian producer who had a lot to do with Coloured Stone, and he was there. So that helped a lot as far as, you know, getting my guitar playing better. I also wrote quite a lot of songs there, being away from Australia. I got a bit homesick, but I threw myself, and the weather was always terrible. But I was influenced by a lot of great English songwriters, especially young guys who I felt the English music scene was, especially the writing scene, was a lot more... intense and out there. They're really pushing a lot of boundaries, because I mean, half the time they lock themselves in their places because you can't go outside,
right?
And they're writing and they're really fantastic dedication to writing new material all the time, and so I was,
you know, had an influence on your approach to it, I guess.
It did. It did.
Yeah. What was it like being an Australian singer-songwriter in London? I mean, good points, bad points? Did it give you some highs, or was it lows as well?
I mean, coming a lot of... there's a bit of ante there from the local musos, you know, who's this foreigner coming in and pushing in.
Yeah, pinching our, cutting our lunch.
Yeah, exactly. But there was also a lot of great response from... I think I saw Jeff over there at a club, Jeff Atchison, doing a solo thing. And what I saw and what they see is the energy of Australians.
Right.
A very big, strong energy coming out of their music.
Yes.
Very dynamic. And I think that they liked that, you know, and they really liked my sounds and what I was doing. A lot of them, I was very impressed by the fact that a lot of European and English audiences had already heard of Tom Waits, and they were really cult followers, you know. Like,
yes.
He has a big following in Germany places.
Yes.
And, you know, they thought, oh, and they really found that my voice also was different to a lot of English singers.
Yep.
There's not a lot of great deep voices from England, you know. I mean, they're really in a mid-range between baritone and tenor. But to get the bassy sounds, and they used to joke about me being the crooning crocodile, you know, this massive...
That's why there's a crocodile on your website. Exactly.
Yeah, well, that was part of it, you know, because in Brisbane they put me up as that, and that was part of our logo, you know, as the band's logo.
Yeah, this one's Cold Dark Nights from Barry Charles from the album Self-Induced Cause.
Trying to make it to the coast, we thought we must be crazy. Our future looked a little hazy. All right, on a cool dark night. Cool dark night, hold on tight. So, we're running out of cash, nearly out of gas on a cold dark night. An out there frantic situation. Well, as it was making of our own creation. Yeah, too cold at night, cold dark night. No starlights, cold dark night, hold on tight. Running out of cash, nearly out of gas. Supposed to be a cruising operation, but it all went pissy. Devastation. Oh, that's me, don't make cool dark night. No starlight. Cool dark night. Hold on tight. Come on. We didn't get the lock, but we nearly pulled it off. Starlight, cold dark night, cold dark night. Better hold on tight, cold dark night.
they had this feeling about Australian singers, and they also liked the idea of what we were singing about. I mean, I used to throw in a couple occasionally, like some John Williamson songs, like Raining on the Rock and things, because I could do my didge sound.
Yes.
And that opened a door to getting into some places where, and then I'd say, well, this is, I'm really a blues singer, this is Don Waits. Like, oh, really? Okay.
And True Blue, you do that one as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, you do the
pubs. I used to hear that in Far North Queensland at 4 a.m. at drunken parties.
Oh, I know. I mean, and really, I mean, he is very popular over there, but and they knew the words better than I did half the time.
Right.
You know, but it was a way of introducing to the sounds I make.
Sure.
I mean, I'm not really into that, you know. And then they'd start asking for Rolf Harris songs. I said, sorry, I don't do Rolf Harris.
Yeah.
You know, my boomerang won't come back and all those. But it's basically to get the sounds there, which I was trying to get into my rep. Had in my repertoire as ammunition to open the door to do what I was mainly interested in, you know. So,
and so you came back to Australia. What time? What?
Oh, about 2002.
And went back to the Sunshine Coast, which is a beautiful place to live or visit.
Oh, yeah.
And you've been working out of there ever since.
Well, exactly. Yeah, and I go up to New Zealand quite often now because my wife's from New Zealand. But
okay.
But I went over just as a trip over to see some people over there, friends of hers, but I got interested in a festival over there called the Bay of Islands Jazz Blues Festival.
That's the top of the North Island?
Top of the North Island.
Russell?
Yep, Russell. Yes,
okay, good. Fantastic. Yeah. Been there, fantastic spot.
So, and that festival is, I've done probably two or three, four times now, and it's it's a good cross-section of jazz blues, and I often at times sing with a blues band over there, the River Rockers, do my own thing and then they join me and vice versa. They've, they've got some interesting players, who one ex-player from Levi Smith Clefs, who's playing over there. Oh, his name, isn't it terrible? The name escapes just when you want to think. But a guitarist, but he's over there and... There's some great musicians over there, and they really support the live music scene.
Right,
they really do.
Now, is it the festival scene, and also go down to Auckland, the capital, and well, that's not the capital; it's the biggest city in New Zealand.
Yeah,
is it quite a good active blues scene in New Zealand that you found?
Yeah, I'm doing the Mission Bay Blues Festival in February, which I did last year, and that was been asked back again to play there. It's a very strong blues scene,
right?
But that's like what they do—they close off all the streets, and probably 25 bands playing in one street all along. And they do—we do half an hour each,
right?
And one band finishes, the other starts, and you're looking at your watch, saying, "I'll have to leave the third verse out. We won't get in," you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And people just walk up and down the street, 120,000, and
wow,
up and down the street, and you just sell your CDs, and you have your own little PA system, and your own little marquee.
Yeah.
And you're on the other side of the street's the other band, and facing each other, and
so it's cutthroat competition.
Yeah, it's good, but it's terrific, you know. Yeah. And it's all this music sort of happening one after the other, and little generator. And
that's different to the Australian festival idea, isn't it? Which is either a big tents and marquees and a gate to get through, or some of them now are sort of like city based, where they open the restaurants and pubs and the bands play there.
Yeah, well, there's a bit of that too in New Zealand. I mean, the Mission Bay Blues Festival is quite unique in that way.
Right.
And there are a couple like that. I mean, Mount Maunganui and that has one too, which is down that way, which is similar to the Mission Bay one. But I did that a year or so ago, and that had the Montana Blues Festival. That was Jazz Blues Festival, which, again, we played in a pub. That was a venue. That's where we stayed. And
sure.
But a great scene. As I say, they really have some good, interesting, original blues coming through. It's just not all covers. They're really right out there trying to write some new material all the time, you know.
Yeah, let's finish off with a track from the album Self-Induced Cause, Barry Charles, When the Rains Came. Thank you.
king, I'd look to heaven. And when they washed away my dreams, I cried all night. But in my heart I knew you'd be there, 'cause I felt the love and then I saw the light. Yeah, I felt the love and then I saw. Through the hard times and through the sorrow, all you always gave me strength to set things right. But I don't worry, no, I don't worry about tomorrow, yeah, 'cause I felt the love and then I saw the light. I felt the love and then I saw the lights. And from the darkness comes the dawning, yeah. When the sun's up in the blue sky, shining bright. Well, I'll be dreaming of that morning, yeah, yeah. When I felt your love, then I saw the light. You know, I felt the love, and then I saw the light. When the rains came, I looked to heaven. When they washed away my dreams, I cried all night. But in my heart I knew you'd be there, 'cause I felt the love and then I saw the light. Then I saw the light. I felt the love, and then I saw the light. I saw the light.
So Barry, where to from here with Barry Charles Music? Is there more CDs in the pipeline, more touring, more singing? What do you prefer to do, and what are you planning?
Well, that's a big question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm working on getting some new songs from, and actually picking up songs from other writers in Australia.
Right.
There's some Gavin Anderson's one person I just given.
Now, we just played him recently on the on the Swing Shift Blues and Roots, Sully Dog, whatever you're going to call it.
Yeah, yeah.
Used to be called the Swing Shift, but now it is Sully Blues and Roots. But, yeah, I played a track from him called Laying the Rails, which is quite a good one.
Great words. And he's a very respected musician who's worked with Andy Cowan for a long time. But I've known Gavin. He worked with me back in the Rockets days in Noosa.
Way back.
And we've kept up a friendship. And wonderful musician as far as songs and guitar work and vocals. He's great.
He does everything on that his albums too. That's just about.
Got some great players on there, like Jimmy Sloggett. And
yes.
Andy helps him with quite a few of the backing. But most of it's all Gavin. Yeah. And another guy in Brisbane who I've known for a long time, a guy named John Malcolm.
Right.
He writes some brilliant stuff. But I'm working on I've got my own material, but I think and that's in the pipeline, probably another 6 months away from the next album. I sort of don't put any deadlines on anything. I leave a bit flexible there because I don't want to. It's one good thing about being independent. You can sort of, you know, have the pressure of saying, well, you've got to have the album out by such and such.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very important with your quality of your album that you're happy with the material you're putting in there and you're not rushing it, you know, because songs change and you add ideas to them. So I think 6 months is probably, I wouldn't want to go much longer than that because you've got to sort of keep things in perspective, you know, be out. If you're out of the way too long, it's so
give yourself a deadline always helps.
It does in a way, yeah. But you can move it if you have
to. You can cheat if you have to. Cheat yourself. That's what I say.
Yeah.
Nothing better to cheat yourself.
As far as I've been working around Australia a bit with Perth and here up, going back up to Canberra and back to Noosa again. But I do like I like touring. I love traveling around Australia. It's a great country to travel through, and different audiences. I enjoyed the challenge of a new audience, New Zealand, and possibly a year or so's time going back to England. I just did a tour of about 5 weeks in England this year,
right?
And I love going back there. I'd never live there again. I couldn't live there, but I think just knowing what it's all about now and visiting there, and having the connections and the friendships that you made while you were there.
Yeah.
It's very important to me. I just like to keep playing, and putting my own identity out there with my music, probably getting a bit more exposure and a bit more, you feel the rewards from what you've done over the years. It'd be nice, but that's up to fate and whatever happens. But I enjoy singing, whether it's six people or thousands of people. I love playing music.
Yeah. So from your career to date, Barry, what would be one of the highlights, if you had to name one or two?
I think one of the highlights I had was firstly probably playing at Glastonbury, the biggest audience I've ever played to.
Right.
And then it was
a big tent environment, was it? You know, at a festival?
Big stage, big tent, massive PA. Another one was up in Queensland where we had Pink Floyd had been over and left their PA system behind, and it was a big festival there with Goanna and quite a lot of bands. It was for an environment fest thing.
Yep.
And the PA system, I just could not believe this massive. It was too big to really for them to take back, and we had it for that festival. It was huge.
Right.
And that was a big highlight. Plus the other one was working with, had a band in Jamaica for a while. I went over there and I worked with the guys from 10 Years After.
Okay.
The guitarist.
Right.
And we had a little band with a guy from Traffic, Dave Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And also Hall & Oates, he was down there. They had the R&R.
Right.
And down there in Jamaica, and we had formed this little band called the Tassie Tigers, and played around Jamaica for a meal and other things, and it was a really fun band because I learnt quite a lot from those guys. You know, they were interesting players. A couple of Rasta guys plays with us. Jamaican music scene was really interesting, and I tend to do like reggae in the sense of its feels at times. I like the feels, and you know, I always think Bob Marley was a fantastic writer of material. So there's some of my highlights. New Zealand's been terrific. England is so great. I played up on Airlie Beach for a while, and they were memorable years. Also, we used to run our own concerts in Noosa, called the Lamington Shows, which were
very tasty.
Very tasty, yes, absolutely. We used to have four or five bands, and people like Phil Manning had come up, and we used to run them at Moon Dances up there outside of Noosa for 9 years.
Fantastic.
Full production for all our local bands, and just bring in a national, international act. And those highlights, those were very great experiences as far as just the ambience of an old country hall and bonfire outside, and people just going out of town and letting their hair down and enjoying a really good night of music, which is wonderful.
It's only you can do in Australia. I seem to have that sort of feel.
And that's interesting. The backpackers had come out.
Yes.
And say, wow, what is happening here? You know, we're out in the sticks. Where are we?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, well, certainly you've impressed me with the quality of the material you've been producing. And
thank you.
Sir. We're interested to find it on an independent label, and certainly more people should be able to hear that and get hold of it. So, www.barrycharles.com is a place to go to get hold of that, or if email Salty, I'm sure we can track Barry down and get you a copy email direct overseas.
Yes.
If you're in Australia, make sure you keep an eye out for Barry Charles. He'll be playing around.
And the gig list is
on that website. So keep chasing that down. So Barry, we wish you all the best with that, and you're doing some great stuff. I want to keep it up, mate.
Thank you very much, Sol.
And thanks for giving some time and coming in.
Oh, thank you, and thanks for your supporting the live music scene, the blues scene. It's
a pleasure. I'm compelled to do it. I'm not sure.
thanks,
mate.
Cheers.
Happy that you're here. And I just want to thank the Lord. All right, get ready. You can get ready. Good afternoon. Thank you.
Thanks very much.